Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, voices. We heard today in our scripture that Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. Did you know that voices are unique to every single person? It's kind of like your fingerprint. It's totally unique. I don't know that I ever even really thought about that before, but it kind of makes a lot of sense. You know, when you hear a voice, you can usually immediately identify the person if you know them, right? So think of singers. I'm going to throw some singers out there. When you hear Aretha Franklin singing, even if she sang a song that you never heard before, you know it's the Queen of Soul. It's Aretha Franklin, right? Bing Crosby. If he sings something other than White Christmas or any of the, you know his voice. It's very distinctive. We could say that about Dean Martin, right? Or Frank Sinatra. How about Freddie Mercury from Queen? Very distinctive voice that you hear. Nat King Cole, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Dave Matthews. I could go on and on with the different singers that we could identify with. Well, let's test your knowledge of voices. Are you ready for this? Okay, so you're going to get to guess the voice. So listen carefully as you guess the voice. Right, that you hear those voices. Oh, sorry. Somebody said the Lone Ranger. Yes, Ed McMahon, right, from The Tonight Show. I forgot about that last one. Yeah, that was pretty funny. We know these voices, right? How do we know Jesus' voice? I mean, come on, think about it. We never physically heard Jesus' earthly voice. We don't know what God sounds like, right? Exactly. Yeah, she's saying, you know what, Maddie's saying, I know what God sounds like. I just heard him a couple of months ago. How do we know that Jesus is calling us? Last week we heard Peter, right? Jesus is saying to Peter and the disciples, follow me, a very earthly, incarnate, risen God is saying to Peter, follow me. He hears that quite distinctly. Peter knows what Jesus' voice sounds like. We don't know what Jesus' voice physically sounds like. So how do we know that it's Jesus that's calling us, that it's not our own internal voice, or that it's not the voice of the world that is calling us. How do we recognize the voice of the Savior? Because when you think about it, it's really easy to follow our own voice, or a voice we think is God's voice speaking to us, and yet it happens to be the very opposite. So we start with our understanding of God's voice. God's voice is distinctive and unique. It's different from our voice. It's different from the voice of this world. In fact, it's probably the opposite of the voice of this world. And I will say it is the opposite. So how do we know that it's God's voice? So to understand God's voice, we have to shift from understanding voice as a noun to voice as a verb. When we go to vote, we voice our opinion. We didn't speak anything, we didn't say anything, but we voiced our opinion. When we put down our filters and we open our arms, we voice our acceptance. We didn't say anything at all. We put down our fists, we opened our arms, we voiced our acceptance. When we stay silent or we do nothing while another who is being marginalized is attacked, guess what we're doing? We're voicing our position. We didn't have to say a word. Non-action is an action. It's a voice. Jesus' voice is in his action, his behavior, his very being. Jesus' voice is the work that he has done in the Father's name. So what does Jesus' voice sound like? Jesus loves unconditionally, right? That's his behavior. There's no quid pro quo here, as is in our world. There's no, you take care of me, I'll take care of you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. I gave you something, I expect something in return. You want me to do something for you? How many times have you heard this? You want me to do something for you? I'm sounding like the Godfather right now, but that's because I got Marlon Brando on the mind. You need to do something for me. That's how this world works. That is not Jesus' voice. Jesus feeds those who are hungry. He doesn't ask whether or not they deserve it. He gives it. Jesus walks with the marginalized, the outcast, the ones that society has discarded, the ones that society says, well, you don't contribute, you don't count. And you know, the angels, who did the angels appear to when Jesus was born? The shepherds who were in the field. The shepherds who were in the field didn't come in during the census to be counted because, see, they didn't count. They weren't important enough. They didn't matter. And they are the very ones that Jesus, God, went to make the announcement, or the angels went to. Jesus goes where others are afraid to go. Jesus crosses borders. Boundaries. Jesus doesn't even see the boundaries. He crosses it so that all will be reconciled. What could possibly be the greatest border that Jesus crossed?
Death.
Yes. Death. Death to life. For us. That. How about God coming from heaven down to earth to walk and be among us, and that border. You see nothing. Jesus doesn't see, God incarnate doesn't see anything as an impossibility. God sees everything as a possibility. There are no borders. There are no boundaries. Those are man-made things. Jesus chooses to include instead of exclude. Jesus includes women and children. Women and children were nothing in that first century. They did not matter and they did not count. Eunuchs, the Ethiopian eunuch, Gentiles. Jesus included all. Didn't ask first, who are you? Forget it. You're not worth it. No. You're not following these rules. No. You behave this way. No. Jesus included every single person. Jesus heals, brings peace, speaks truth, and is truth. Jesus serves. That's how we know Jesus' voice. When Jesus says, follow me, that's how we know where Jesus is present. That's how we know that we're being called. Because we're being called to love unconditionally. No, I always say this wrong, quid pro quo here. Unconditionally. We don't know what's going to come back at us. But Jesus didn't know that either and did it anyway. That's how we're called to love unconditionally. We're called to forgive as we have been forgiven. We're called to feed the hungry, not just by food, but also spiritually and emotionally. We're called to walk with the marginalized, to see them, to greet them, to welcome them, to see them as a child of God, just as Jesus did. We're called to practice including people instead of excluding people. We're called to be inviting. And I will tell you, this is where the church corporate fails all the time. We are called to be inclusive of everyone. We are called to practice peace. We're called to practice empathy. We're called to practice compassion, understanding. And sometimes that means being quiet, because what we might say could be hurtful. Jesus' voice can be heard in our homes, in our communities, in our church, in our city, in our county and the county surrounding, in our state, in the nation, and throughout the world. Do you hear Jesus' voice for you on this day? Jesus, our good shepherd, reminds us that we are his sheep. We are the followers of his voice, and his voice here is a verb. It is the actions and the behaviors of our Lord. Let us pray together that we can hear his voice calling us on this day and every day.
Let us pray. Lord God, please restore our hearing, that we may once again hear your voice that calls out to us, as we know that you clearly hear our voices. Make your voice crystal clear, whether heard through others, nature, or sheer silence. Let us follow your voice with trust and assurance, knowing that through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, you give us eternal life, and that no one will snatch us from your wrath. And all of God's children say, Amen. Amen. Practice hearing that voice this week. Amen.